made you some content. Daddy made you your favorite open wide. Here comes the content. It's a beautiful day to stay inside.
Greetings, Boo Killers. It's Eddie. Marconi is here too. Marconi, something really kind of scary happened to me last night. I was just hanging out, you know, at home, just minding my own business. And then we've talked about this many times before on the show.
Your addiction to vinegar chips? Oh, wait, that's me. Sorry.
Yeah. When somebody rings your doorbell or knocks on your door,
right?
It's never a good thing.
No.
Never. I don't care. Day and age in America, yeah, that you're not expecting. We don't answer our doors.
Nope.
It doesn't happen anymore.
Even
that's
when
why we all have.
The other day, I got, you know, my meal kit foods are delivered, and I have specific instructions because, like, it's, you know, they're pretty expensive, and to have that delivered. And one time, a couple of times actually, my food was stolen. And so because guy delivered, they left it on the street. And so I'm like, you got to deliver it right to my door. And a guy was having problems, said that he couldn't get in my building. Like, what's your access code? And was asking all these weird questions. And I'm like,
no, there's nothing. No, you can't. No.
Yeah, so I said, I don't know. You have to go through the box isn't working, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, this guy's full of it. So
I wouldn't trust that either.
So I had to tell him I wasn't home and somebody let him in and he left my food in the lobby. And I'm like,
what a jerk.
And so I texted him. Now I have to pretend like I'm not home because I'm thinking he's going to like murder me or something, break into my apartment. And then he goes, I left it in the lobby. I go, well, that's not what's, I didn't say this, but I was like, that's not what's on the instruction. You know, this is the second time, the third time. And so
it's because you don't want these people getting into your home or
he ended up
anywhere near your door.
He was halfway down the road. And he had to come back and bring my food to my door because I was scared. I was pretending I wasn't there, so I couldn't run down and get it. So I said, I need you to come drop it off at my door. I had to play through. And he did. He came back and put it at my door. So I probably am getting murdered now.
I mean, I think that's the problem here is that we're all afraid of being murdered. We've watched too many murder shows on TV, you know, Dateline, and there's all these horror movies too. So, and that's how every horror movie starts is somebody questionable knocks on your door. And luckily I have one of those Ring cameras.
Yeah.
So if somebody presses it, if you're not familiar, somebody will press the doorbell and then immediately I'll get a notification on my phone.
Right.
And it says someone's at your door. I press that and it goes to a live view of the camera. So that happened to me last night. I get this Ring at about 8:30. And I'm like, who the hell is ringing my doorbell at 8:30? This can't be good.
This is daddy's night time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I press a little button, and sure enough, it's a transient man who looks very disheveled standing in front of my door.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, okay. I was like, I'm not going to engage. There's a little intercom on this Ring thing. And I'm like, I could say, what do you want? But I'm going to.
Because you don't
want
to get into that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because technically, he's not trespassing. If the man's just ringing my doorbell, it's not like he's doing anything
wrong.
You're
hoping if you don't respond, maybe he'll just leave and you'll be fine.
That's right. And so I kind of waited it out. And he stood there for literally 10 minutes. And he just, kept staring into the camera and did all this weird stuff. just kind of standing there. Looked like he was on drugs. And it was just kind of a scary thing.
He put on a show for you.
That's right. That's right. And then eventually he left, but he went the wrong way.
Oh, no.
He went around toward my back door.
Oh, no.
So, and then at this moment, this is really stupid of me. I realized I left the back door unlocked because I just took my dog out.
Oh, no.
And I was in a different room, so I was like, oh, crap. So I ran to the back door, and then I locked it.
Yeah.
luckily, he didn't try to get in or anything. But then I was staying there, and I locked the door. And I was like, okay, so there's this transient man right back there right now. And I don't know what he could be doing. He could be doing drugs. He could be
eating a bag defecating. Of fiddle faddle. We don't know.
I don't know, but I didn't want him there anymore. So I grabbed my pepper spray and I was like,
you're ready. Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just see if I can't tell him to leave. I don't want to use the pepper spray.
Right.
But maybe he's just lost or drunk or something. So I opened up the back door and my, of course, heart was beating and the adrenaline's going through me. I opened up the back door and he's not there. I don't know where the hell he went.
Nothing scarier. Did the murderer go? He was just here with a knife bludgeoning me over the head. Now he's gone.
Yeah. Exactly. So I just slammed the back door shut and then I cried myself to sleep.
Now he's living in your attic, probably.
Probably.
I mean, you'll only know if you put a camera up there, you know? Just saying.
Oh, look at this, Marconi. Let's check our voicemail at 833. Hi, it's me.
Oh.
Howdy, Jackaroo. This is President Joe Biden.
Oh.
You're listening to Mood Killers with Marconi and Eddie, the only radio show that jars its own nuts. These two knuckleheads are doing the Lord's work. Call into Mood Killers and leave a voicemail. 833-HI, it's me, is the phone number. Again, that's 833-HI, it's me on your telephone. I'm pretty sure you can fax that number, too. Give it a try. Be a good American. And now here are the guys. God bless America and God bless Mood Killers.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. Yeah, see, if he can take time out of his busy schedule to leave us a message, so can you. 833-HI,
it's me. Is the president on Cameo? Is that what's going on?
he must be on Cameo now. That's probably how we got that. Yeah. Well, these days, Marconi, there's always something strange happening on airplanes or in airports, from mile high meltdowns to comical carry on capers. It's time to fly the unfriendly skies.
No.
This is your captain speaking.
Yes.
We are now going to fly the unfriendly skies.
Where?
On Mood Killers.
I think we've been seeing these stories a little too often. A Southwest flight narrowly misses crashing into a helicopter on the runway.
Ooh. What?
A plane, yeah, it almost collided. I guess FAA officials say that the Southwest flight was approaching a runway at the Hollywood Burbank Airport.
Oh, and that's the good one, by the way, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's the one I always fly into.
Yeah.
True. And I guess this helicopter was practicing touch-and-go landings and just getting all up in everyone's airspace, apparently. And after the air traffic controller noticed that this helicopter is in the wrong spot, they told it to move out of the way. And in that process, an airplane almost ran into it.
Wow.
And they say a similar situation happened just a couple months ago, same airport, with another airplane.
It seems like by now we'd have all this kind of stuff down, but I get it. Like, you know, new people are learning to, new pilots. It's not like we have the same pilots that were, you know, 70 years ago or whatever, but still it feels like, you know, the technology we have we kind of almost have driving cars. You'd think we'd have self-parking planes and stuff like that. But we don't.
I know.
There's always these weird things that accidentally, and a lot of times, you know, these pilots might be a little gooey in the head. They're sleepy.
Yeah. They might be a little loopy on the sauce too. You never know.
Oh, you know. Yeah.
What's going on there? And I think we talked about two or three stories like this just kind of recently that I remember on Unfriendly Skies, of airplanes running into other airplanes on the tarmac. Like, what the hell's going on there?
Yeah.
I guess it's better than midair, but still not good. You don't want that to happen.
But
those planes go pretty fast.
It's still, it's still like, you know, two cars wouldn't just randomly run into each other on purpose or anything, you know? Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Flight attendants are banding together because they want to ban lap babies on airplanes.
Okay.
So this is, I guess there's some sort of a rule where children under two can fly for free on their parents' laps, but flight attendants are coming together and they're saying, nope, no more. We
Our
can't
flight
have this anymore.
Is it flight attendants or is it the airline that's like, hey, we want to get some money out of these people? You know?
That's probably it. Yeah, they want an extra seat to be purchased, and they want that baby strapped in or duct taped to the seat somehow.
It seems weird that you can just have loose leaf children floating around in a plane, because if the plane crashes, that child is flying. You know, there's no in a car you have to have them in a, you know, in a harness. And so there should at least be some kind of a harness apparatus, maybe like something hanging from the, from up above.
Well, why don't you just put the infant in the overhead bin?
There you go. Perfect. There, solved. Problem solved.
We're taking a look at what's going on at the airport and in airplanes. If you look above, there are flying anuses in the skies. There's always something strange happening in an airplane or at the airport. It's all part of...
This is your captain speaking. We are now going to fly the unfriendly skies on Mood Killers.
The unfriendly skies. That's right. So every week, Marconi, I really do. I say to myself, we can maybe give this unfriendly skies thing a rest. But then there are just so many damn stories. They're piling up.
They're piling up. Right.
They really are. A tech tycoon is being called a creep after he was on a flight and he allegedly offered the woman sitting next to him $100,000 to take off her mask.
Oh, I was going to say, what did Elon Musk do this time? But no.
Yeah. Yeah. So this
take off her $100,000. Mask.
Yeah, I guess he, for some reason it bothered him that there's a woman sitting next to him wearing a mask. And
why do they care? Why does anybody care? If you don't like people wearing masks, then just shut up. I mean, I wear a mask when I want to. When I feel like it makes me feel comfortable, I like to wear it. And why does anybody care? And anybody that has to say something to someone or $100,000, if you've got $100,000 to throw around, and you're just going to do it willy-nilly because somebody's irritating you because they're wearing a mask, people are weird dorks now. Like, it's just so, everyone's like, you know, this fake outrage over dumb things is getting old.
Yeah, I know. And this guy just seems like a complete idiot. He went on Twitter and he actually kind of added himself on this. So he went on Twitter and explained what he did. Then everyone responded to him pretty much unanimously and said, dude, you're a freaking creep and you're a loser.
Yeah.
So he went on Twitter and he said, I am on board a Delta flight right now. The person sitting next to me in first class refused $100,000 to remove her mask for the entire flight. No joke. This is after I explained they don't work. She works for a pharma company. I started the bidding at $100.
Yeah. These idiots know everything.
So he was pestering this woman. He started at 100 and went all the way up to 100,000, probably in $5 increments.
Yeah,
he's during the entire flight.
He's such a brainiac. He's a doctor. He knows everything. Yeah. I love idiots because they're mad. They know more than you, no matter what.
Yeah,
you're the dummy because you're wearing a mask. I love that mentality.
Right. People on his Twitter account responded, "You're an entitled mansplainer." Another person said, "Why are you harassing a woman minding her own business, confined in a small space where she can't get away from you? What a creep!"
These people are always the ones that are telling you that their rights are being infringed on. In fact, all they do is infringe on everyone else's rights. Like, I don't need to be harassed by you. I don't need you to talk to me. You won't leave me alone. I don't care what you think. I didn't ask for your opinion on anything. And please leave me alone and stop, you know, but they can't shut the hell up. They've got to let you
everyone,
know.
Everyone, flying anuses. I say they're all flying anuses.
Right.
And speaking of more flying anuses first class, like this guy was, SkyWest flight was delayed for 2 hours because two flight attendants were arguing. I guess they were arguing over whether or not they should let someone in first class switch their seat with someone in coach.
Oh.
So the whole plane was delayed 2 hours. Got children.
Airlines need to get it together. There's so you hear all these stories and it's like, maybe we just can't, you know, get along. Maybe there's no future hope for anyone to get along because you can't fly anywhere. You hear about these stories all the time. And there's always these weird delays where people are stuck on planes for some dumb reason. And it's like, you know, I'd rather just, I'll stay home. No thanks. No thanks.
moodkillersmerch.com. That is our merch store, as you know, Marconi, and we have so many beautiful items, beautiful keepsakes. We have items that are going to keep your family entertained and enlightened for generations to come. You'll be passing these items down through the years and the ages, like the, how about the men's premium sweatshirt that says "Stay Anal"? That's going to be as important as that Notre Dame sweater that your dad used to wear back in the 70s.
Oh, yes.
Passed around the family. Yeah. You know?
The one that he wore in his casket at his funeral, right?
That's right.
And don't forget, one of our favorites is the camping goblet. That's always a winner. Everyone loves that. And especially the new Stay Anal line, which is 20% off right now. You can redeem that at moodkillersmerch.com. And hoodies, hats, beanies, bibs. Yes, bibs and other treasured keepsakes at moodkillersmerch.com. Eddie, you know, every few years I switch therapists just for fun. And then you have to start over, which is not fun. It got me thinking about my, my whole trajectory. You know, I started out as a kid. My mom is a single mom. We moved every single year of my school existence. So imagine every single year of your schooling, you were in a different school, a different situation, and sometimes, you know, a different stepdad, whatever it was. So it wasn't always great, but, I respected my mom. She worked really hard, but I got to be a teenager and we had like a falling out. My mom was pretty hard on me because I wasn't that bad of a kid, but, you know, she was just real strict. And so we didn't get along, and I was always babysitting my sisters. I have two younger sisters and four younger sisters, but I grew up with two of them. The whole thing was, you know, I just wanted to like have a normal high school life and like see my friends once in a while. And my mom was trying to have a life too. So she would always count on me because she was a single mom and couldn't afford a babysitter. So I would have to stay home and babysit.
So she goes out to the Sizzler with her dates or whatever.
And it was weird because, you know, my two younger sisters, when she would get a boyfriend, she would take them to stay the night at her boyfriend's house and leave me at home. So
that's kind of nice, though, right?
I didn't mind it.
That'd be my dream as a kid, to be left alone.
But I felt excluded. So I was, and people always wonder,
why would they leave you behind and take your sister?
A lot of reasons, but one of them, and I don't try to like throw my mom under the bus, but this is my story, so I have the right to tell it,
I'm sure your mom has things to say about her mom too, so.
yeah. No, actually she doesn't. my grandma was a saint. You know how it is. But my mom had me when she was young, when she was 17, and she didn't like people knowing that. So she didn't like people knowing that she had a 15-year-old kid. And so sometimes the new boyfriend's parents wouldn't even know I existed. And so.
I mean, that's kind of stupid. Sorry to your mom. But like, I think most guys would be like, oh, she has a kid that's 15. That means this guy is not going to be around very much longer. That's less pressure on me.
Yeah, the guy knew and he was cool. Like, he was a real nice guy, but I only got to spend my sister.
Did you rebel then when you get left behind and, you know, and have friends over?
Yeah, I would leave the house and they never knew. Good. You know, what are they going to do?
Yeah, you might as well.
So I would go out and,
good.
And then my mom and I didn't get along. And then like when I was 15, I left for the summer to visit my grandparents, and I stayed with them for like 2 years. And so I lived there as in Iowa. So it's, you know, I lived in Arizona with my mom at the time. We moved from Iowa to Arizona and it was a big thrill because, you know, different culture, everything. It was great. But things were so bad that I decided to move back to Iowa and get pampered by my grandparents who adored me. And so, you know, I think it was just, I kind of just needed that attention for whatever reason, because I was always shuffled to the side and kind of like, oh, yeah, that's my oldest son. No, I'm ignoring the kid behind the curtain kind of thing. And so, you know, it was just like, I don't know. My whole life, I felt like I was nobody's favorite. And maybe that's why I got into radio. Pay attention to me, you know, something. I don't know. I'm telling Eddie about my horrific childhood. I started a new therapist, and you have to start over with a therapist, and it's not always fun. So I started drumming up all this these old memories, and I was thinking about, you know, I moved, and I every single year of my school existence, so I had no long-term friends, no roots, so to speak. And then, so it really worked out perfect for radio. And people always said, well, are you an army brat or something? No, my mom just moved. And, you know, now my parents, well, we don't want to take the kids out of school. Nobody thought that when I was growing up. And I'm not bitter. This is just stuff that I'm remembering because I have to recall it to the new therapist. And so I'm, you know, I'm learning, you know, oh man, I really am, I'm still have something going on from this trauma.
Isn't that annoying? Yeah. This stuff from childhood just sticks with you all life, your entire adult life.
Yeah. You think it's really
just stupid.
Yeah. And you know, I've forgiven my mom and I, you know, and we've made our peace and everything's fine. But, you know, I had to, basically when I was 15, my mom and I didn't get along. I moved out to my grandparents for 2 years. I didn't fit in Iowa either. I had to move to Iowa with them. I say grandparents. I meant two sets of my grandma, my paternal and maternal grandma, and my grandpa, and they lived across the street from each other, and I just stayed with them. And I had long hair, and I dressed like I was doing a stage show in a rock band. And so in Iowa, that didn't really fly, because everybody there, you know, was wearing polo shirts and khakis. That wasn't really
That's
me.
That's definitely what I think of when I think of Iowa.
Right. And so, I don't know, I either got beaten up by somebody or I would attract popular girls because I was the new kid and then their boyfriends would beat me up.
So now you're having to recant all this to your brand new therapist.
Yeah, it's great.
New one. Now, so you figure your therapist needs the origin story that you're, don't you wish therapy was sort of like your doctor? You switch doctors, they just send the file over to the new guy.
Well, I think they do some of that, but you know, you have to familiarize them with why you're screwed up. And so the origin story is part of it, you know? And so.
Don't you wish you could like just, I don't know, make your own biopic and then make them watch it before they speak to you?
Yes, like a little, or even if it was just an audio or written or something, like a book.
A pamphlet. Pamphlet.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever been punched in the face before, Eddie, but it's not fun.
I have. It's horrible. I was punched in the face really bad once, and just before my high school graduation. So in all my high school graduation photos,
oh my
gosh, big shiner.
Yeah, big shiner. I mean, and I, you know, and the... It was a weird time. And then I moved back to live with my mom again when I was 17. And, you know, my biological dad died. So things weren't working out then again with my mom. So she suggested that I take this, I would get this social security money. If your dad dies before when you're a kid, you can get a stipend. And we used that and I got a studio apartment. So I'm a kid in high school with a studio apartment. Imagine this. And when that ran out.
I mean, doesn't that make you the most popular kid, though?
No, because I didn't want anybody to know. I felt like an idiot.
Ah, you felt embarrassed, huh?
Yeah. And then I had to move into this place that was like a divorced dad's where they go to die, you know?
Yeah, probably by the freeway somewhere.
No, it was a decent location. I mean, I was close to my school and stuff, so I could still go to school. And so that was weird. And then the thing was, is this girl I started dating, her dad was divorced from her mom, and he lived there. So if we were, like, doing anything, it was kind of cool. You're like, oh, I could take a girl back to my apartment, right? Well, not so much for me, because her dad would randomly be walking around. The eyeballing things.
Oh,
it was a mess. But it's a long story. But I'm really working on, you know, with this therapist, trying to like figure out what's wrong with me, and why I'm so depressed. And I think the root of it is radio, not all this childhood stuff. It's definitely my job.
Marconi, our fellow citizens out there, without a doubt, are putting the cray in cray-cray on a daily basis.
That's just been so long since I've heard anybody say cray-cray.
I know. I thought we'd dig that one up.
When is that originally? Was that early 2000s? When was cray-cray? I'm just glad
it went away. Let's just say that. You're like, you know?
And he's like, I didn't even really mean to say it. It actually happened.
Cray-cray.
Now you're like putting me to the test. Like, when is cray-cray originally?
I wrote that down about an hour ago to say. So, yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I was like, I'm going to say cray-cray.
You just wanted to say it, didn't you?
I did.
It's been inside you for a while.
Yeah. But you know what I'm trying to say here is that I believe the downfall of society has begun in a new segment called
Anarchy in America.
It's Anarchy in America, folks.
Ooh, wow. All right, I like that
voice.
A
man was busted for slapping his wife in the face with a slice of pizza.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't like
this
that.
This is just terrible.
I don't like any kind of, like anything against
I don't like it.
Women at all. Even
I hate
if
it.
Even if it's meant as a joke, it's not funny to me. Because
no.
I just.
Because you know that this guy's doing other stuff besides that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the slice of Sicilian was the final straw, then, you know, there is something going on.
And
so
also to think about
that
woman is she probably puts a lot of effort into her skin and he's slapping her with a greasy slice of pizza. And
you know, I really wish you could punish these people equally, and the judge could be like, okay, you have to stand there. We're going to slap you with a fish over and over again in the face.
But not even let the woman do it. Like, have some big, you know, have The Rock come in and smack your face. See how you like that?
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what people don't understand is, you know, like if a woman is smaller than a guy or whatever, even if a woman is tough, you know, like a lot of women are way tougher than me for sure. But I still don't believe, you know, you should raise your hand to a woman. Just not okay.
Yeah, never. Don't raise a hand. Don't raise a deep dish. Don't do it. Just don't
any
do
dough
it.
Of any kind. Tortillas, I don't want to see it.
No tortilla slapping. This is why society's falling apart. Anarchy in America. Anarchy in America.
Yes.
A football player, I guess he plays for Alabama State. He tried to flee cops. He took them on a high-speed chase going 141 miles per hour.
Ooh.
Apparently, he had more than 200 pounds of marijuana in his car.
What?
And he was fleeing the police. I don't know. He had a loaded gun, all this marijuana.
Oh, my God.
And a Dodge Challenger. And
what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, he plays on the football team. You'd think he has maybe some promise in life, but
yeah, you think,
apparently he got caught up in the wrong crowd. I don't know.
I mean, to get even on like a college football team, especially Alabama, that's a very prominent team. I mean, it's like getting struck by lightning almost to be able to be on those teams and to throw it away like that. It just, it saddens me because you're right.
Yeah.
Kids, he's probably got a lot of talent. And maybe he's got a bad home life or something. You know, maybe he grew up without one of his parents or something. Or, you know, I don't know. I look at that and I'm like, that could have easily been me, you know, because I grew up. I didn't have a dad.
Know, right?
And I didn't have as much promise as any of these football players. But, you know, I could have easily gotten into drugs or, you know, some bad things. And luckily I didn't.
And we've all done stupid things, too, in our youth that. I think about some things. I'm like, oh, geez, I got so lucky that I never really got into trouble because I could have.
Like that time I
had bad luck.
I stole all that lunch meat and stuffed it down my pants at the store.
That's
got away
with
it at least once, but you know, still felt guilty.
Yeah. That's where you got the name baloney.
That's right.
Marconi, society is crumbling around us. Look around. It's time to put fear into our listeners' hearts.
Anarchy in America.
Oh.
A guy threatened people on a bus with his pet rat.
Oh.
Yeah, he took out his pet rat, and he started yelling at fellow patrons with his pet rat, Jerry, and he started waving Jerry around and said that Jerry was going to murder all of them.
So, no, here's the thing about rats. If you've had any experience with them, I did, because I dated a girl who was a vet tech. She was going through she was going through college, and I dated a rat. But she had a couple of pet rats when I dated her. And at first I was like, ugh, like most people. And then I kind of got familiarized with them. And I got to tell you, rats are a great pet for a kid. The sad part is they live about 2 years. And then they usually have like some kind of tumor. And sometimes that can be taken care of. But then, you know. Then they usually die, and it's not a great thing. But I learned the personality and the intelligence of a rat is so much different than a regular pet that I respect rats way more than most people do. And so most people look at them as a gross rodent. You know, I see videos on Instagram where, you know, in other countries they're preparing rats to be food, and it really saddens me because their personalities are way better than most people's, to be honest.
Yeah.
And
I believe that. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I hate when I hear stories about rats being, you know, tossed around or anything. Even in movies where I know they're, you know, they're protected by PETA and all that kind of stuff. And then, and you know, they're not allowed, you know, they'll show them and you'll hear a noise. They don't show that they squashed a rat. It's just a movie. It still bothers me.
But at least, thanks to science, though, rats have all the cures to all the ailments
in
society.
That's right. Exactly.
So we are treating our rats well, I believe.
Well, there you go.
In some cases. There's just too many to treat.
Right.
But we have the cure for cancer and, I think, diabetes and everything.
Don't get me wrong. Wild rats terrify me, but I don't like I have a heart about them. I don't like to see them just squashed. You know, I wish there was something you could do, but there's not.
Right. Woman pulled a gun in the McDonald's drive-thru over an item not being on the menu. She was looking for the cheeseburger bundle. I guess that's some sort of a combo where you get McDoubles or McChickens together in a bundle. And she didn't see it on there. So she went up to the window and pulled out her gun and asked for the cheeseburger bundle.
It never ends with these stories of things that happen. Can you imagine working there? You're making whatever you make, minimum wage, and you have to put up with all these kind of things that happen with people. It's just not great. You know, a lot of people that I know started out at McDonald's, and it's a great experience. They learned a lot, and it is good for working and learning, but the people are insane now.
I know. It's almost every week we hear about somebody pulling a gun on one of these poor McDonald's workers or you know, fast food worker of some sort. It's just not cool at all. And I don't understand this. This person who pulled a gun, she's looking for a cheeseburger bundle or something. And couldn't she just get two cheeseburgers and put it in the same bag?
Yeah.
I don't understand what was going on there. I don't understand.
And you're losing your mind over a few dollars here or there or whatever it is. You couldn't get the combo, so you've got to buy the burger a la carte or whatever it is, but you can still get it. Just come on.
Yeah. Well, now she's going to be in jail for a very long time.
No burgers for her.
That's right. Society is crumbling, Marconi, and we're going to jump on the bandwagon of the rest of the media and scare the crap out of everyone.
Anarchy in America.